the bride's desire. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 16. The Lord's people are at times likened unto a flock, or a temple, or a body, or as in this song, a bride. And here the Lord's elect bride is likened unto a garden. The garden is enclosed by which is meant that she is separated from all else around. As with a garden, she is set aside for the owner's personal pleasure. The plants and flowers in the garden represent his graces and virtues planted in her by his Holy Spirit. The elect bride has just been praying for heavenly winds to release her spices. There is often much that is locked up and imprisoned in the hearts of his people, so that there is little outflow of praise to him who made them as a garden for his own pleasure. Now the bride has prayed for the cold, chilly north wind, if need be, or the cheery, warm south wind, if need be, or that they come a combination of both, representing on the one hand trials and persecution, and on the other, pleasing and gentle providences, so that there may be a release of sweet fragrance for his pleasure. Now notice the title that she gives him, My Beloved. That is both personal and affectionate. She knows he is hers, and she desires a visitation of his lovely presence. He is her beloved, and there is no other beloved. It is a title which expresses her love to him. He is the object of all her dearest affection. There is none to compare with him. There is no rival for her heart. His love and the many demonstrations and expressions of it bring forth a response of love in his elect bride. She has no need to mention his name. Everybody knows who she means when she says, My beloved. No need to mention a name. He is distinguished from all others, and more precious than all others combined. What a sweet title. What music in those two words. My beloved. She dearly loves him. He is the desire of all her heart's deepest longing. Such is the title. Now notice the invitation she gives him. Let my beloved come into his garden. And this coming is to be understood not of our Lord's first coming or of his second coming, but of his spiritual coming to visit his chosen and elect bride, to grant to her his sweet presence and to manifest to her his love, which is very desirable by her. These spiritual visits to his loved one is reckoned a great favor and an instance of his condescending love. Yes, she was his garden. He had bought and purchased her. He had redeemed and separated her from the common ground of mankind. He had planted in her his own flowers and plants, that she was not her own, but his. All the fruit belonged to him. She was his property, as it were. And here she owns the fact of his claim upon her. Now, when we gather together to this remembrance feast, we should heartily desire that the Lord visit us in a living way with his sensible spiritual presence. We need to have some manifestation of his presence and love to us so that we are not left comfortless. And this he has promised, I will come to you. It is not always that the Lord grants manifestations of his real presence, though we may believe him to be present with us according to his gracious promise. But sometimes he withdraws his sensible presence where he sees coldness and indifference and a lack of desire for his company. He therefore at times hides his face. It is not that he has abandoned his thing, but that he withdraws in order to stir up our desire for the enjoyment of his presence. That awakened desire is expressed by the bride when she says, let my beloved come. Let my beloved come into his garden, that is, come to me. Lord Jesus, come and visit me. Now we notice the object in making such requests. It is that he may eat his pleasant fruit. He is invited to come and partake of fruits that are found in her life, that is, the fruits of the Spirit. They are called his fruits because all came from him to her and are exercised upon him. He is the author and finisher of them. And they are called pleasant fruits because they are well-pleasing to him, because they are acceptable to him. This includes all the fruits of the Spirit in her life and all the good works done out of a principle of love to him and his glory. And she wants him to eat them. That is, expresses pleasure in them. And expresses acceptance of them. Now we should desire to give him the best when things are most fresh. That is why I myself love the worship and remembrance meeting in our assemblies, to be early on the Lord's Day. Things are freshest in the morning, and our first exercise should be to give our beloved the worship and praise of which he is worthy. We do not ask that he come and satisfy us. The worship meeting is not a prayer meeting to ask for things, nor an intercession meeting to pray for others. It is that he come among us and find his delight and satisfaction in what we have to offer to him. What joy it is to him to find a company of people whom he has redeemed and saved and rescued from sin and death and hell. What a pleasure to him to hear their praises and to smell the fragrance of their growing graces. What a delight to him to see the fruits of his Spirit blossoming within us. This is to see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. It is to witness the blessed result of our union with him, and the grace of God working in us. These are the fruits which are pleasant, and which are well-pleasing to him. So let us pray that as he comes among us, there may be much for him to gather for his own satisfaction and delight. Now hear the words of Mr. C. E. Moody. I lift my heart to thee, Savior divine, for thou art all to me, and I am thine. Is there on earth a closer bond than this? That my beloved's mine, and I am his? To thee, thou once, to thee once bleeding lamb, I all things owe, all that I have and am and all I know. All that I have is now no longer mine, and I am not mine own. Lord, I am thine. How can I, Lord, withhold life's brightest hour from thee, or gathered gold or any power? Why should I keep one precious thing from thee, when thou hast given thyself, thy life for me? I pray thee, Saviour, keep me in thy love, till thou shalt come, or sleep shall me remove, to that fair realm where sin and sorrow o'er, thou and thine own are one forevermore. Amen. And amen.